Good day, good day, good day. I am Apostle Shelby Frederick, and I want to welcome you to our new Grow in Faith Bible Study. This Bible study is designed for individuals who want to be discipled in the Word, mentored in life application, and developed in character and purpose. I personally disciple those who know that there is more, but don't know how to attain it. Our community culture centers on John chapter 14, verses 6 through 7. Jesus explained, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes next to the Father except through union with me. To know me is to know my Father too." If you desire to know your identity, position, purpose, and significance in Christ, join our growing discipleship community. Good evening, good evening, good evening. I want to welcome you to this week's Grow in Faith Bible Study. I am Apostle Shelby Frederick, and we are broadcasting live from the Columbus, Ohio region. Blessings to all of you that are coming on tonight for the continuation of our teaching series on the Watchman, the Watchman. So blessings to each of you that are on Facebook, those that are on YouTube, and those of you that may be on the website and watching the replay later on. And you know me, I like to get right into our teaching. Before I do, let me go ahead and open up with a word of prayer first. So Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Father God, for this time of teaching. We thank you, Father God, just for how you continue to walk us through the word, Lord, for how you are highlighting the importance of the ministry of the watchman, the ministry of the gatekeepers, Lord. And I thank you, Father God, Lord, that as we continue to look in your word, Lord, and look to you, Father, the blueprint of Jesus Christ and prayer and intercession, that we would be more skilled, Lord, that we would understand, Lord, the importance, oh God, of being in place and in position, oh God, and executing, Lord, in this realm of prayer and intercession, Lord, that our prayers may be answered, Lord, that we may see, Father God, the enemy before he comes, oh God, and that we continue, Father God, just to hear your voice, oh God, and follow your leading. And so we bless you and we praise you. We honor you on tonight, and we give your name all of the glory. We give you all of the honor, and we give you all of the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen, amen. Hallelujah. God bless, God bless, God bless. So if you have been trekking along with us, this, I believe, is part three in the Watchmen 101 series. And tonight we are going to be talking about Nehemiah, looking at the intercession of Nehemiah and how we see this symbolically in the scripture. One thing, and we're going to be jumping around in some of the scriptures in the book of Nehemiah. So you might want to just go ahead and just put your finger there as we take a jump through some scripture here on tonight. But I want to start off talking about just the intercession and who Nehemiah was, and taking a look at his life. And we see clearly that he was a strategic intercessor. And he set half of the people on the construction of the wall, and the other half he positioned them on military watch. Military watch. And what we understand about this period in time is that Nehemiah was actually in captivity in the Persian Empire. So he was far away from Jerusalem, which was his native land. And one of his brethren and a certain man from Judah, they visited him, and he asked them, "How are things going back home?" And so if you first turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. And I'm actually going to be reading tonight from I believe this is the Christian Standard Version. Hallelujah. So verse 3 says, "They said to me, 'The remnant in the province who survived the exile are in great trouble and disgrace. Jerusalem's walls have been broken down and its gates have been burned.'" Verse 4, "When I heard these words, I sat down and wept. I mourned for a number of days, fasting and praying before the God of heavens. I said, 'Lord, the God of heavens, the great and awe-inspiring God, who keeps his gracious covenant with those who love him and keep his commands, let your eyes be open and your ears be attentive to hear your servant's prayer that I now pray to you day and night for your servants, the Israelites. I confess the sins we have committed against you. Both I and my father's family have sinned." And so what we see here is that the news that he received was so dreadful. And he was deeply saddened and grieved that those from his hometown, that they were back home and they were suffering, and that the walls were broken down and that the gates were burned with fire. And what we see is Nehemiah, who was disheartened to hear of this bleak condition of a once thriving kingdom that God had established for them in the land that was flowing with milk and honey. And so one of the first things that we see is that as intercessors, that we must show care in the conditions of God's people. We must show care in the success of the kingdom of God. As the people of God, we must inquire about the spiritual condition of the saints and as the church as a whole, so that they can stay current in the spiritual matters. And so sometimes what we will see is that there are some people who may become numb to the spiritual reality of the different atrocities that we see going on in our day. And they do not feel emotionally connected to the spiritual trauma that has even taken place in the body of Christ. But what we see here in Nehemiah is that he showed a deep spiritual connection with the heart of God. And because of his grief and his sorrow, it reflected the deep grief, my God, that the Holy Spirit feels. Hallelujah. When he relays those spiritual pain through the spirit of his intercessors. And so even when we take a look at culture and society, when we take a look at all of the things that are going on, even now in our cities, as intercessors and as prayer warriors, as the body of Christ, we cannot find ourselves where we are disconnected from the people and from the trauma that people are even experiencing. And so that same grief that when things are going on, that same grief that we see Holy Spirit having is the same grief that we should have. So when we see that he received the sad news, and the first thing that Nehemiah does is that he recognizes, first of all, the sovereignty of the Lord God of Israel. He recognizes and he declares that, "Lord, you are our strength and you are our refuge." So he immediately turns to no one else but God. He didn't call a friend. He didn't call a prayer partner. But he fell upon his face and he begins to intercede. He begins to confess of their sins, and he reminds God that they were the people that he had redeemed, and that he had commanded Moses, saying that if they had sinned, that he would scatter them, but if they returned to him, that he would bring them back home. So Nehemiah postures himself, and he begins to beseech, he begins to beg God to keep his promise, because their hearts were returning back to him. So we can hear the intercessory tone in Nehemiah's intercession to God. And it wasn't one that was, it wasn't a weepy prayer. That when this level of grief comes upon us because of the people that we are interceding for, that it's a fiery plea. It's a merciful and a repentant, you know, prayers that we pray. And so even today, those of us that are intercessors, we still must have that same oil that flows through our prayers. We must have and be of that mindset that, Lord, I'm going to stay in this place of intercession. I'm not going to let you go. Hallelujah. Except you bless me. My God. And so this is what we need today. You know, I was listening to the news, the evening news, and there were, I don't know, between Friday and Saturday, maybe 6 shootings here in the city of Columbus. A couple of those were murders. You know, are we still going to continue just to allow things to take place in our cities? And yes, we know that we do more than pray. Yes, we put boots on the ground. But when you understand that things start first that things that are taking place in the realm of the spirit, hallelujah, that this is where we must start. And so when we look at Nehemiah, his first response was to go to God in prayer. And an intercessor has a tender heart toward others. And our heart has to remain tender towards others so that our hearts can yearn for God's will to be put in place. Hallelujah. And so we pour out our hearts, we pour out our complaint before the Lord, and we tell him our troubles. We tell him all of the issues that are at hand. And we know that God is the answer to every problem. And so we seek him for every solution. Hallelujah. And we don't use other means, because there is no other means. Hallelujah. There is no other means but God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So what we see here is that Nehemiah, he goes and he begins to inspect the broken walls. After pouring out his concerns, as an intercessor, one of the things that we have to do is that we have to begin to do what we call a spiritual surveillance, meaning that we have to now begin to scope out the atmosphere. We have to understand what is going on in the realm of the spirit in order to assess the situation, so that we can come to a conclusion as to 3 things: what was done, what is still happening, and how do we need to tackle it to bring divine order. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me repeat that again. There's 3 things that we do when we talk about interceding. Hallelujah. We have to take a look at, and we have to see what was done, what is still happening, and how do we need to tackle it to bring it into divine order. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses, this is going to be a lot of reading, but all is well. Verses 12 through 20. Nehemiah chapter 2. Verses 12 through 20. And it says, I got up at night and took a few men with me. I didn't tell anyone what my God had laid upon my heart to do for Jerusalem. The only animal I took was the one I was riding. I went out at night through the valley gate toward the serpent's well and the dung gate, and I inspected the walls of Jerusalem that had been broken down and its gates that had been destroyed by fire. I went on to the fountain gate and the king's pool, but farther down it became too narrow for my animal to go through. So I went up by night by way of the valley and inspected the wall. Then heading back, I entered through the valley gate and returned. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, for I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, officials, or the rest of those who would be doing the work. So I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned. Come, let us rebuild Jerusalem's wall so that we will no longer be a disgrace." I told them how the gracious hand of my God had been on me and what the king said to me. They said, "Let's start rebuilding," and their hands were strengthened to do this good work. Hallelujah. When Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite official, and Geshem, the Arab, heard about this, they mocked and despised us and said, "What is this you're doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" I gave them this reply: "The God of heaven is the one who will grant us success. We, his servants, will start building, but you have no share, right, or historic claim in Jerusalem." Glory to God. So what we see here is that Nehemiah, he goes to God, he intercedes, and he gets the answer. He gets the strategy. He gets the solution from God. He gets the instruction from God. And then he goes to the king to get the permission to rebuild the walls. And then what happens now is that once he assesses the situation and he can gain complete knowledge of what was going on, this is why he had to go and he had to listen. Once we're done praying, we come out. And as I always say, we put boots on the ground. We put boots on the ground. So now he goes and he surveys everything. He has complete knowledge of what it is that it is going to take. He then begins to relay what he had found to the leaders and the nobles and to his fellow Jews. And he encourages them to arise and rebuild, arise and rebuild. So what we see here is that intercessors must be strategic in their operation of kingdom business. We have to understand that even as we are going out and we are moving in our assignment, that not all leaders are going to be ready to hear what thus says the Lord. Not all leaders are going to be ready to hear what God has put into your spirit. So we have to be strategic and be led of the Spirit. So as intercessors, we inspect the situation from a spiritual standpoint, not what we see from our natural eyes, but what do we see from the spiritual standpoint? And then we begin, then we are ready to give what? A full report of the cause of the problem, the extent of the damage, and what it will take to resolve the issue. And this will enable them to come up with a plan of the solution when they know exactly what they are dealing with. We have to know what we are dealing with before we go off trying to offer a plan. Coming in with the solution. What did God say? What has he given us permission to do? What did he reveal to us? You see, we have to understand that as we continue in intercession and spiritual warfare, the enemy will use people just like Sanballat and Tobiah to discourage you in hopes of causing you to believe that you are foolish in your thinking. What do you think that you are doing? Huh? There's no hope for this community. There's no hope for this generation. There's never going to be any change. You have to be prepared for the mockers. You have to be prepared to be scorned. Hallelujah. There will be an accusation of rebellion. But what we see here is that Nehemiah and the people of God, even though they face multiple opposition, they came to the task of rebuilding the broken down walls of Jerusalem. So we have to know that we are going to be opposed. And sometimes you're going to be opposed by what I call the old heads. We know who the old heads are. The old heads. We're talking about those who have been in church all of their lives. They're used to things being run a certain way. This is the way that we normally do it. This is the way that it's always been done. Hallelujah. But we see, my God, where that landed. We see where that ended up at. Hallelujah. And so we cannot allow even those with an old mentality who are not willing to change to stop us from doing what God has called us to do. You see, we get in our flesh when we oppose because we've always done things a certain way, and because now somebody is coming in with something new and we immediately reject it. But what we see here with Sanballat and Tobiah, they were really carnal. They were speaking from their carnal nature. Sanballat and Tobiah, they weren't even Jews. They were Samaritans. So they were of the mixed multitude. So when the Babylonians deported the Jews over 70 years earlier, they replaced the people of Jerusalem with people from other nations that they had captured. And so what we see is that the foreigners, they began to intermarry with a few of the Jews who had not been deported, and their children who were born of these marriages were called Samaritans. So these leaders in the church, my God, are spiritual Samaritans, just like Sanballat and Tobiah. They're Christians. They're still believers. But guess what? There's a mixture that is there. And hence, that causes them to be carnal. Just like Sanballat and Tobiah. They were carnal. They were mixed in their thought process. They were mixed in their mentality. They were good with just how it had always been. Listen, I told them this morning on the prayer line that if we think that things are going to go back to the way that they were, we're already behind times. Things are not going back the way that they used to be. So it becomes very important for us as the people of God to be able to hear clearly what it is that God is speaking, what it is that he is telling us to do, how he is telling us to build and to move and to mobilize to continue to advance his kingdom. But guess what? It won't be like the old way. So will we reject the new that is coming, those that are ready to rebuild our communities, our cities, our families? Or will we stand in opposition of what God is doing, just like Sanballat and Tobiah did? You see, we have to understand that when God moves intercessors in, that he is working on restoring the spiritual wealth of his kingdom. And we cannot allow those with that carnal old mindset and that old mentality to stand in the way and to become a hindrance to the move of Holy Spirit and the work of the Lord. It's the work of the Lord that we are doing. This is not the work of our own hands. It's not the work of something that we've devised. It's the work of the Lord. And so we don't want to find ourselves being a hindrance to the work of the Lord. And so you may even have people that say, oh, they're just doing too much. Oh, you're just so spiritually minded that you're no earthly good. So-and-so has been in this position for 40, 50, 60 years. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to be open to who God is using in this time and season. And as intercessors, we must be persistent in doing the will of the Lord. Don't allow the mockers, don't allow the scorners, don't allow those of old mindset to hinder you, my God, from doing the work that God has called you to do. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we will face opposition. Sometimes we may even be ridiculed, even as we see here in Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 3. And it reads, "Then Tobiah the Ammonite, who was beside him, said, 'Indeed, even if a fox climbed up what they are building, he would break the wall down there. He would break down their stone wall.'" Ridicule. So listen, we cannot be easily moved by faithlessness. Do not allow the faithlessness of others to cause you to move away from the assignment. People that speak negative to what God is doing, how God is moving, do not allow them to undermine your ability as an intercessor, or even your call as an intercessor. Like I say, let people think what they think. You continue to stay focused on the assignment that God has called for you to do. Now, we also see here in scripture where Nehemiah faced opposition through the threat of attack. So there's never any logic behind the wicked who becomes jealous at success or prosperity. Because listen, the wicked, they're busy. The wicked, they minding their own business, but they are plotting against your demise. So we have to take the attitude that Nehemiah had. Let's go back to Nehemiah chapter 1, and I want to look at verses 7 through 9. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And it reads, "We have acted corruptly toward you and have not kept the commands, statutes, and ordinances you gave your servant Moses. Please remember what you commanded your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and carefully observe my commands, even though your exiles were banished to the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place where I chose to have my name dwell." So sometimes you may have opposition even from your own men, people from your own camp, your own brethren. Whenever there is disunity in the church, chaos will ensue if there are no spiritual leaders to counteract the toxic atmosphere that spirit is operating in. So even within the body of Christ, we will find believers who sometimes will become angry because sometimes, the Lord is using you. He's not using them. And they will fight against the work that God is doing through you. But as intercessors, we must keep pressing forward. We must never be distracted because God is faithful. And guess what? He's going to ensure victory if we do not give up. So keep your eyes focused on Christ and never let the turmoil and the things that is going on around you, hallelujah, don't focus on that. We are focused on Christ and allow God to bring his divine transformation through you. Now let's take another look at when Nehemiah faces opposition through discouragement of the people. Sometimes we get weak. There are times where we may become weak. For a moment. Let me say that, for a moment. But there are genuine believers who at times sometimes become overwhelmed at the current situation, the current things that are going on. But there must be at least one person who can bear up the infirmities of the weak and to help to strengthen the brethren. So as intercessors, we must press in until they break through into the dimension of the spiritual realm. Again, we can't allow what we see with our natural eyes to cause us to become weak. So we have to press in, my God, until they are pressed into the realm of the spirit and they can begin to see like God sees. When we press into the spiritual realm, hallelujah, glory to God, their spirit man is no longer influenced by the elements of this earthly realm. They're no longer influenced by the things that they see with their natural eyes. We press in until we experience the atmosphere of heaven, where we can begin to decree and declare the word of the Lord, just like Paul did, where we become caught up into the third heavens, my God, where we can hear another language, another spiritual language speaking to us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. And we're going to start at verse 10. We're going to start at verse 10. And what we see is that in Judah, it was said, the strength of the laborers fail since there is so much rubble. We will never be able to rebuild the wall. My God, they were looking through their natural eyes. Verse 11, and our enemy said, they won't realize it until we're among them and can kill them and stop the work. When the Jews who lived nearby arrived, they said to us time and again, everywhere you turn, they attack us. So I stationed people behind the lowest sections of the wall at the vulnerable areas. I stationed them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I made an inspection, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the great and awe-inspiring Lord and fight for your countrymen. Fight for your sons and your daughters. Fight for your wives and your homes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 15. He says, when our enemies heard that we knew their scheme, and that God had frustrated, every one of us returned to his own work on the wall. And from that day on, half of my men did the work while the other half held spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers supported all the people of Judah who were rebuilding the wall. The laborers who carried the loads worked with one hand and held a weapon with the other. Each of the builders had his sword strapped around his waist while he was building. And the one who sounded the ram's horn was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is enormous and spread out, and we are separated far from one another along the wall. Wherefore, or whenever, or wherever you hear the sound of the ram's horn, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we continue the work. While half of the men were holding spears from daybreak until the stars came out, at that time I also said to the people, let everyone and his servant spend the night inside Jerusalem so that they can stand guard by night and work by day. And I my brothers, my servants, and the men of the guard with me never took off our clothes. Each carried his weapon, even when washing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when we begin to see the damage and realize how much work and spiritual work that it's going to take, sometimes, yeah, people will get discouraged. But we cannot let the negative words and the things that may seem so overwhelming to us add to the task at hand. That's an added burden. Hallelujah. Faithlessness, my God, today, to the work of the Lord is an unnecessary burden. It becomes an added burden onto the work that you already have to do. Hallelujah. So like Nehemiah had a plan. Nehemiah had a strategy. I just read it. We must be like Nehemiah and his fellow workers. When fellow, even intercessors, when we become discouraged and we begin to lose our praise, it takes an intercessor with leadership quality to rise to the occasion. Hallelujah. To lift up the arms of the weak and to strategize and to plan to bring all of the intercessors on one accord so that they can grab a hold to the shield and the buckler, my God, and accomplish the will of the Lord. Hallelujah. So Nehemiah, we see that he was encouraging those who were discouraged in the Lord. He didn't jump on the pity party train with them. No, he encouraged them in the Lord. Glory to God. He reminded them of how great God is. That's why we have to keep the Lord before us. We have to keep him as our focus. Glory to God. Glory to God. And one of the things that we see here in Nehemiah to his intercessors was for them to fight for their brethren. My God, fight for their sons and their daughters, fight for their wives and fight for their houses. Can we or do we have that same posture? Do we have that same attitude as the people of God, as people that pray, as intercessors that are standing on the wall, those that are standing in the gap? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So listen, we don't get tired. We can't take down. Hallelujah. Because my attitude and my mindset is that I am fighting for my brethren. Glory to God. I am fighting for my sons and my daughters. I'm fighting for their wives. I'm fighting for their houses. I'm fighting for my community. I am fighting for my city. I am fighting for my country. I am fighting for this region. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so we have to be encouraged to fight for all that is ours. All that is ours. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So just imagine. We know that Judah means praise. And here we have the tribe of Judah beginning to complain and become overwhelmed about their current situation. They became discouraged because they didn't seem strong enough for the task. Glory to God. The task that was before them, it seemed insurmountable. Their adversaries, they were frightened. Think about it today. One of the stories that was on the news was on today, and I just said, Lord have mercy. It was a 14-year-old boy who shot a woman because she accidentally ran over a dog. 14 years old. And things that just don't make no sense. But listen, we have to stay encouraged in the Lord. When God gives us a plan, when God gives us the strategy, he ensures us that the work is done. The work is already done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. So yes, we don't walk around with blinders on our eyes. We acknowledge the reality of the situation, and then we begin to set the workers in place behind the wall, on top of the wall, a sword in one hand, hallelujah, spears and bows, and he set them as he see, according to their families. This is why families is so important. We have got to fight for our families. We have got to intercede for our families. Hallelujah. Not one of our family members left behind. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so what we see is that he was working on behalf of the people. Half was working on behalf of the people. The other half were holding their spears and their shields and their bows. Some loaded, some carried the load, some built the walls. Equipped, protected, and having a plan in case of attack, they worked diligently from dawn until dusk. They didn't stop. They didn't give up. And so what we see here as Nehemiah, the great intercessor, he had a strategy that brought success. And he positioned them low and high with their weapons. And for us, that means that we have to cover the air. We have to cover the surrounding land and whatever it is. Hallelujah. Glory to God that we are interceding for. Now, when the enemies found that Nehemiah and his workers knew about their plans against them, those who fought against the people of God, they will realize, listen, you're not fighting against people who don't have any wisdom. You are fighting against people who are keen with discernment. Because as intercessors, we have the ability to detect the spirit that is in operation. We have the discernment to detect the spirit that is even in operation in people. Hallelujah. So we must emulate Nehemiah by making sure that intercessors are properly assigned to be watchful in the spirit, my God, and be ready to use our weapons to take down opposing spirits. So we need the prayer warriors. Hallelujah. We need those that will labor in the spirit. We need those that are going to continue to beseech the Lord to bring past his will, which is the reconstruction, my God, of his kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. We're going to have some intercessors that will be assigned to sound the alarm. Glory to God. Glory to God. Whenever we detect a spiritual attack, whenever we detect a breach, there should be someone that is assigned to sound the alarm. Glory to God. And we have intercessors that will also be assigned to cover other intercessors. So listen, we need one another. We can't do this isolated. Glory to God. We have to continue to come together. We have to continue to gather together. I need the intel that you have. You need the intel that I have. Glory to God, so that we can cover our positions and stay alert, my God, as we are advancing his kingdom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the enemy, he realized that Nehemiah and the people knew their tactics against them. Even so, Satan knows that we know that it's his plan to try to destroy us. Notice I said try. To try to destroy us. Hallelujah. And he's going to continue to keep coming against the work of the Lord. But we must continue to fight on. We have to understand that we have been anointed with the oil of intercession, that we have been endued with power from on high, that we do not be afraid. Hallelujah. That we continue to move forward. Glory to God. We have to contend for the sake of the kingdom of God. And at the same token, we are not going to be ignorant of the devil's devices. We know his strategies. We know of his ways. through the discernment of Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit will reveal it to us every single time. Hallelujah. And guess what? When Holy Spirit reveals it to us, we beat him at his game every single time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just a few more points. Hallelujah. We also see that Nehemiah, he faced opposition through extortion. You see, at this time, there was famine that was going on in the land. And you had the poor Jews, they had to trade their property for food to their fellow Jewish brethren. And what did their brethren do? Their brethren made things even harder by taking advantage of them and charging them interest. They also brought their sons and their daughters into bondage by making them servants unto their brethren just so they could survive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's nothing new under the sun. We have people even today, my God, that will sell their children. Glory to God, just so that they can make it, just so that they can survive. And so we see Nehemiah, he gets angry because God strictly forbids the taking of usury among themselves. Look at Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 3. Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 3. And he says, others were saying, we are mortgaging our fields, vineyards, and homes to get grain during the famine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We must have compassion. There is a level of compassion that we must have. Every believer must possess it, because it symbolizes the compassion of our Lord and our Savior. It is compassion, glory to God, that moves us to act. Everything that Jesus did, it was because he was moved with compassion. And we have to be the same way. If we have no compassion for our fellow brethren, we will not be motivated to help one another. And listen, we are in a time, believe it or not, and we're going to see it even more as the days come on, that there is a level of compassion that we must have for our brothers, that we must have, hallelujah, for our families, that we must have for those that don't look like you. My God, even for those who don't even serve, my God, the God that you serve. We're talking about compassion for humanity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God never intended for people to benefit off of other people's misfortunes. God forgive us today, because we see this time and time again in our culture and society even now. And so while we see the enemy fighting on the outside, sometimes there are those that are facing their own issues from within. Sometimes it's the internal issues that intercessors face that can be just as strenuous. I'm talking about the issues that we face with our own brethren, the issues that we face even with our own leadership. It can at times be difficult for us to deal with. We have to understand, listen, not all leaders are in tune with what God is saying. Not all leaders are humble enough, my God, to take instructions that God is sending through the intercessor, through the prophets, or whomever God decides that he wants to use to speak. Glory to God. So we cannot allow, even during this time, offenses to come up and to divide us. We cannot allow, hallelujah, gaps in the hedges of protection. So intercessors have to know how to pray against the spirit of resistance and every demonic influence, hallelujah, hallelujah, that wants to activate itself and become elevated in the human flesh.
So while praying against demonic spirits that are released into the body of Christ, intercessors must also know how to verbally interact in a way to bring about godly peace. So this is why we must learn new strategies, which means that we rely heavily upon Holy Spirit. We must give our flesh no space, no space whatsoever. No space whatsoever. Hallelujah. We also see Nehemiah faces opposition through compromise. We can never compromise our anointing. We can never take any chances with the anointing that God has placed upon our lives. We have to protect the anointing. We have to discern the types of spirits that people are operating through. The Bible tells us that we are to what? We are to watch and pray. Look at Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Glory to God. Verse number 1, it says, when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that no gap was left in it, though at that time I had not installed the doors in the city gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me a message. Come, let's meet together in the villages of the Ono Valley. They were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing an important work and cannot come down. Why should the work of the Lord cease while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent me the same proposal and I gave them the same reply. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The enemy will be persistent in his attack to try to get you to come off of your assignment. And this is the danger to us when we become weary. This is a danger to us when we give up too easy. So as intercessors, we cannot become distracted. We must continue to keep those gaps closed. We must continue to build the walls. We must continue to put up the gates to the city and to set a watch. And so no matter the method of distraction, how often the devil tries intercessors, we must stay focused. We must stay focused. Listen, life is going to happen, but we can't come down. My God, we must not come down. We must stay in position. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's look at when Nehemiah faced opposition through slander. Through slander. Listen, slander is one of the popular demonic spirits that is loose in the church. Not the world, loose in the church. The spirit of slander and the lying spirit partner together to ensure destruction of everything that is godly. Hallelujah. And it is a shame before God to see some of the things that we see even going on even now, where brothers, the brethren in the body of Christ, are marring other brothers' name. Forgiveness and forbearing one another in love is not on their agenda. So it simply means when we see this happen, this means that there's a gap in the hedge of protection. There's a gap. Hallelujah. This means that Satan has gained access because there were either no intercessors in place or the intercessors were not watching, meaning that the intercessors left their post. Hallelujah. Every time we entertain, glory to God, gossip. Every time we are not watching the words that are coming from our mouth. Hallelujah. That means that we have left our place and left our position. Hallelujah. And we have left the gap in the hedge of protection. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Let's read verses 5 and 6, Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. And it says, Sanballat sent me the same message a fifth time by his aide, who had an open letter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He had an open letter in his hand. In it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem agrees, that you and the Jews plan to rebel. This is the reason you are rebuilding the wall. According to these reports, you are to become their king and have even set up the prophets in Jerusalem to proclaim on your behalf. There is a king in Judah. These rumors will be heard by the king. So come, let us confer together. Listen, Nehemiah already had the permission of the king to rebuild the wall. But his enemies are now accusing him of planning to make himself king. Ain't that just like the devil? They had gone so far to accusing him of appointing prophets to prophesy that he would be the king. They accused him of rebelling against the will of the king. Hallelujah. But it did not stop him from keeping focus. So what Nehemiah, he basically told them, listen, to their faces, you a liar. You're liars. And guess what? I'm going to continue on with this project. I'm going to continue on my assignment. Hallelujah. And Nehemiah said that his enemies made them afraid so that their hands would be weakened, so that the work of the Lord would not be done. We have to be reminded we are doing the work of the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we see that he admitted his fears. Yes, he did. But he drew strength from the arms of the Almighty God. He did it afraid. He did not even slack up, even though for a moment, for a brief moment, he was afraid. So we don't let slander cause us to shrivel up and to die. We have to continue to press forward. We have to be empowered in our passion and in our purpose to press toward the goal. We have to let the oil of our intercession rise and to cover the target. We have to let it be thick and let it be strong. We have to let God continue to be magnified in our life and in our ministry. Glory to God. Glory to God. And that wasn't it. Nehemiah also faced opposition through treachery. They just would not stop. And so here we see Nehemiah faces a false prophet that told him that he was in danger and that he must run and hide in the house of the Lord. But Nehemiah perceived that God had not sent him. And he defeated the enemy once again by refusing to cease working in order to run and hide. So there is deception within and without the church. So we have to continue to be alert and look through the eyes of Holy Spirit and see what is on the radar so that we can tackle it. There are many false prophets, my God, that have risen up boldly declaring, thus said the Lord, when the Lord had not even sent them. So the power to defeat all the workings of darkness is within you. And we utilize that power to bring glory, not to our name, not to make our name great, not to say that I'm prophet so-and-so, I'm bishop so-and-so, I'm apostle so-and-so. No. We utilize the power of God to bring glory to his name. In his name alone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Let's go to verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 10. Hallelujah. He says, I went to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, son of Mehetabel, who was restricted to his house. He said, let us meet at the house of God inside the temple. Let's shut the temple doors because they're coming to kill you. They're coming to kill you tonight. Verse 12, hallelujah. I realized God had not sent him because of the prophecy he spoke against me. Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Verse 13, he was hired so that I would be intimidated to do as he suggested, to sin and to get a bad reputation in order that they could discredit me. Verses 15 and 16, hallelujah. The wall was completed in 52 days on the 25th day on the month of Elul. When all our enemies heard this, all the surrounding nations were intimidated and lost their confidence, for they realized that this task had been accomplished by our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We must realize the attempts that the enemy will go through to bring you down. In 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 through 30, we read of an old prophet who lied to a young man of God who was a prophet, and it resulted in the death of that young prophet. The young prophet believed the false prophecy of the old prophet, and he was met with destruction. So we must test the spirit to see whether they are of God. Has he spoken to you? Do you know God has what he has instructed for you to do, regardless of who disagrees with it? So be aware of old, false, lying prophets, because they will cause doors to open up in your life, leaving you with a spiritual infection. So be discerning, people of God. Be aware of when the false shows up. Hallelujah. And know that the Lord has not sent them. Hallelujah. The enemy would love to trick us and to get us off task so that we will stop doing the work of the Lord. Glory to God. So what we do in this area of prayer and intercession is important in the building up of the kingdom of God. And whatever tactics that Satan can use, he will use them. But we have to understand and we have to know, hallelujah, hallelujah, that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. Hallelujah. I want to encourage us, encourage our leaders. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That no church can survive without intercessors. No church can survive without intercessors. Hallelujah. We have to be able to see and discern what it is that the enemy is doing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop right there for tonight. I pray that this word and this teaching has been a blessing to you. I pray that it has stirred up within you to stay on your post, to continue to stay focused on the assignment, to continue in the place of building and interceding. Hallelujah. And don't come down. Don't stop building. Hallelujah. Glory to God until the work is completed. Hallelujah. Until the work is completed. So, Father, we just bless you on tonight. We thank you and we give you glory, honor, and praise for your word on tonight. We thank you, Father God, Lord, for those, Lord, that have been strengthened and encouraged, Lord, to get back. Those that have stepped out of the places, oh God, hallelujah, from off of the wall. Those that have stopped praying, oh God, those prayers, oh God, that you have called and you have said that they are to pray. Those, Father God, that have moved themselves, oh God, out of the gap. Those, Father God, that have removed themselves, Father God, from making up the breach, oh God, and the hedge of protection, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that the intercessors are strengthened, that the intercessors are encouraged on tonight, that they return to their work, oh God. Hallelujah. To build, oh God. Hallelujah. To have the sword in one hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And their tools in the other. Glory to God. That we won't stop, oh God. Hallelujah, until the work is completed, that we won't stop, hallelujah, until the assignment is done. Glory to God. We thank you, oh God, hallelujah, that you anoint us afresh on tonight. Hallelujah, that everyone that listens in on tonight, hallelujah, that you will pour a fresh anointing upon us, oh God. Hallelujah, that we would be ignited and reignited. Hallelujah, with a consuming, fiery, hot burning, oh God, inside of us, Lord, to continue to pray, to continue to intercede, continue, Father God, to stand upon our watch. Hallelujah, to stand in the gaps, to stand at the gates, wherever it is, Lord, that you have assigned for us to be, that we will stay in that place, oh God, until the work is completed. We bless you and we praise you. And we give your name all of the glory. We give you all of the honor and we give you all of the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you so much for tuning in on tonight. Again, I pray that you are blessed, that you are strengthened, that you are encouraged, that you will not come down off of your assignment until the Lord completes his work. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. I pray that you have a great rest of your week, that you would have sweet rest on tonight. Hallelujah. And that the Lord would bless you and he would keep you. Hallelujah. As you go about the rest of your week. And we will meet you back here on next Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the continuation of our teaching on the watchmen. Blessings to each of you. Love you. Bye-bye.